I'm Dwayne DeBrain, Western Cape Chair of the Educators Union. Good morning. How are you this morning? And welcome to Breakfast with Rufilwe.
Good morning, and I am so honored being on your show. And good morning to all your listeners.
You're kind, Andre. So, talk to us about the rollout. 582,000 teachers are expected to receive jabs in 10 days. Are you confident about this outcome?
Yesterday I received a text saying that there's a delay on the vaccine. So I actually don't know what is going on there. I don't know what's going to happen in this week. It might be or it might not be. I'm just trying to get the SMS that I got. It says here that the message from COVID Department of Health Coordinator, Dr. Kotzer, informed me that the vaccines are delayed.
So already?
I have no idea what, and we might only start getting things in place by Wednesday. So I have no idea when things will be happening. But also, like Kaby said, that we are a bit concerned about this Johnson & Johnson thing, because there has been other vaccines tried and tested, and the results are available, but those vaccines are not available. We can only go what the government provides us with, and providing us with Johnson & Johnson, which is still in a trial phase. So,
no, Andre, you have nothing to worry about. So, sorry if I may disabuse you. There was a
it's fine.
There was a batch that came from Baltimore. Others are produced in Belgium. You will be receiving J&J that was produced in Belgium, not in Baltimore, United States. So there was there was a contamination in Baltimore, United States. That's the only one that had to be destroyed. Your J&J is fine, tested, proven.
Okay, because what we say is that the trials of this thing, I'm talking to you about what I've read, the trials of this thing are not completed yet. So I registered because I had COVID, and I do not, I promise you, I do not want this thing again.
You're not going to, so you may get it again, actually. I can't tell you you won't get it again, but you will not have severe, so I can,
no,
I can,
no, no, I'm
can,
just saying I do not want it again.
I agree. And Andre, if I, sorry, if I just want to give you comfort, because what I'm worried that what's going to happen now is there may be teachers or people over the age of 60 who are listening to us, who will walk into a vaccination site and see J&J and get stressed. I want you to understand, and I want to let everybody who's listening to me at home or in their car or headed to work to understand that there was one batch of Johnson & Johnson that was at risk of contamination or was potentially contaminated that was produced in Baltimore. The 2 million that we threw away were contaminated or potentially contaminated. The ones that went through the Sisonke trial were not. And the ones that are coming to you now are not contaminated.
You see, our concern is not the contamination of the same vaccine.
Okay.
Our concerns are about the trials of the vaccine that is still not completed. So
no, they're completed.
What I'm saying is I registered. So whenever they tell me that I need to go, then I'll most probably go. But the thing is, we need our teachers. Well, I cannot. Let me put it to you like this. I am not knowledgeable in terms of the pros and cons of a specific brand of vaccine. So it's difficult for me to answer you now on that. Maybe somebody knows on that. We'll be able to have a better conversation. I can talk to you about the dangers in schools.
Correct.
I can talk to you about the anxiousness of every teacher, of every parent, of every learner. I can tell you about the youngsters who are being basically infected by thousands, by the thousands, you know.
Alrighty.
I can talk to you about that because I've got the statistics in front of me.
Of course you can. Andre, and I welcome you to do so. I just, because you expressed your concern and your fear, I just wanted to comfort you, give you comfort around the Johnson & Johnson safety. And what we know, and only because I happen to have the privilege of speaking to epidemiologists and specialists on a daily basis. For
okay, cool. That's, I thank you for that information. Sure. That you, I will convey it
Please.
To the rest of the PEC, NEC, and our members out there.
Thank you. And out of interest, Andre, is your perspective, your trepidation, your fear, is that something that you would say is commonly reflected across other teachers at the moment?
The thing teachers fear the most is getting infected with COVID. The thing that the people out there is fearing the most is contracting COVID, because a lot of our teachers sit with comorbidities.
I would say the same. I mean, I think that's the average South African's concern. You know, what we seem to see when I spoke to epidemiologist, infectious diseases expert last week, he kind of said that most of those infections didn't even happen at the schools for teachers who were concerned. It's about managing our behavior at home, I suppose.
Yes. I would love to see his research on that, because my sister's son just got infected at school. He's 9 years old. He just goes to school and he comes back. So I'd like to see his research on that as well. I mean, I can tell him about my principal who died, who got infected at the school.
No, sure.
Because he had comorbidities and he felt obliged to be at school. So I can tell him, I can give him examples of people who got infected at school and some of them died.
These are tragic.
You know, you cannot... The fact of the matter is, just because there is no results on a specific test, results on a specific thing, does not mean that the results are absent.
Absolutely, so, Andre, and I appreciate what you're saying, because I want to get back to the union itself, but I appreciate what you're saying. I just want to say I appreciate your anecdotal evidence. It is valid. There's a difference between anecdotal incidents and, of course, a clinical trial by a professor of its university. So I just...
Let's separate that,
and you're welcome to research it, right? So that's what academia...
Because we are in schools every day.
Please feel... Okay. So back to the union. So you keep telling me about your personal experience. I'm inviting you on the show as a representative of the Educators Union of South Africa.
Yes, thank you.
So tell us their perspective, if you don't mind.
Our perspective is that we have... If we can take a ride back in to the beginning of... to somewhere earlier in this year when the DBE opened up all kinds of sports for everybody to participate in. And then in our view, when the infection started, and most of those schools were actively involved in all sporting codes, were schools that went back to full capacity at that stage as well. So we had a lot of outbreaks at those schools. And in our view, that was the start of, that was part and parcel of the start of the third wave. And now we see 3,000 infections in terms of learners in Gauteng in this month already, 3,000 teachers. We see the 80% death rate increase in Gauteng. We're seeing 1,000 people here in the Western Cape. We have tens of hundreds of people being infected daily. I mean, I'm sitting here with my own daughter who has to go to school while they are a hotspot at this stage because they're writing exams and the schools are still open. So our stance is, if we go back to when Andy Motshega and this Gogo wanted schools open in the beginning of this pandemic, she forced schools open. Afterwards, a lot of corruption allegations came out regarding PPE. Now we are just wondering, you know, we are just wondering why is he so adamant in keeping schools open now and emphasizing the fact that there's going to be a vaccination, you know. These are questions that we don't have answers on. Plus, there is no safe space in a school at this stage, no safe space, because kids, it's winter, kids are sick. We've just had a medical consultant at school who said we must treat every child with a runny nose, with a slight cough, as a possible COVID case. So how are we going to do that? We're sitting with kids in front of us. It's very difficult to social distance. Our stance is we need to close schools now. Our stance is why didn't Gogo move the holiday that was supposedly to start on the 8th of July? Why didn't she move that till this week? close schools, break the momentum of infections at schools, and open up again on the 8th when we were supposed to close. So I mean, we are on the front line. We see this, and people are scared.
Indeed. Andre de Bruyn, okay. Western Cape Chair of the Educators Union of South Africa. Here's your traffic.